How's everybody doing? Good? Weren't those incredible songs we sang today? God is on the throne. He is our champion. He is alive forevermore. And this is a great place to be at, just to remind yourself that God is in control of whatever we're facing today. God is in control. So happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody. We also want to pause and remember those who lost their lives for our freedom. I'm always reminded on Memorial Day weekend that freedom is not free, right? We want to thank God for the men and women that have gone before us, that have given us the privilege to exercise our right to worship. Yes? If there's ever a day to be in church, it's on Memorial Day weekend, just to exercise your right to worship, because this is a privilege. A lot of countries don't allow you to worship publicly and freely. We're blessed to be in this country. So happy Memorial Day. I hope that you have a wonderful time with your family and with your friends. If you're just joining us today, welcome home. All of our first-time guests that are here watching online, welcome. My name is Pastor Joe. I'm just honored to have you. Did you talk about the connection card? You did. Okay. Sorry. I was thinking about other things. I was thinking about what I'm preaching on. That's what I was thinking about. What was that point I was thinking of? But just want to welcome you. Glad you're here. Glad you're online watching. Glad that you're connected to our family. And if this is your first time in a long time, so great that you're back in church. So you came on an awesome Sunday because we are continuing the sermon series called Strapped. How many are feeling strapped these days with this economy that we are living in? To be honest, I didn't think it'd get much worse, but I filled up on gas and it was 5:05. And somebody say, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Yeah, go ahead, Josiah. By the way, it's my son Josiah who's doing an awesome job. So listen, this series is really to help us learn how to manage money God's way. And how many know that God's way is the best way? I should actually say this. God's way is the only way to live your life. And we talk about money because Jesus spoke a lot about money. Jesus spoke more about money than heaven and hell combined. There's over 2,350 verses on faith and possessions and wealth. He's talking about that. Jesus spoke a lot about it because it impacts how we live. Everything we do every day revolves around finances. Did you ever think about that? And at the end of the week, you're earning an income, a check, which represents all of your hard work and all of your effort. And how you manage the wealth that God has entrusted to you has a direct impact in your relationship with God and your relationship with other people and really your relationship with yourself. So as we've been talking about this series on money, let me remind you, do we have slides, Josiah, or no? Okay, let's use the back wall right center there. So let's look at rule number one. Rule number one is do not feel guilty, because we've all made money mistakes. Am I right? We've all made money mistakes. Number two is don't get defensive, because we're talking about money in church. Sometimes people have a preconceived feeling about that and think, oh, why are they talking about money in church? Well, I just told you, Jesus said a lot about money, and actually, we are tempted to serve money and love money. And that's our greatest competitor of our hearts is money. So don't get defensive. But number three is keep an open mind. Keep an open mind to biblical principles, because the way the world is handling money for the most part, it's not going very well. And we don't want to be like everyone else. We want to live by biblical principles. We want to live by biblical values. We want to live our lives based on biblical principles. And if we're followers of Jesus, we want to follow what God says, how to live our lives and how to handle money. So in week one, we talked about the ownership principle. What was the ownership? That God is the owner of everything, not us. He owns it all, y'all. How many know that? God owns everything. He even owns you. You don't own anything. God is the owner of everything. We got to start with that principle. God owns all of the M&Ms. How many know that? God has an endless supply of M&Ms. He's the owner of everything. What are M&Ms? Well, M&Ms are money managers. If God owns everything, then we are to be good stewards of what he has entrusted to us. Hence, M&Ms, money managers. Love M&Ms. What's the stewardship principle? It sounded like a swear word I just said right there. Stewardship principle. Faithfully and responsibly handle all the money and wealth that God has entrusted to us by God. God owns everything, and every week, you know what he gives us? He gives us 10 M&Ms. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Boom. Isn't that cool? God entrusts us with 10 M&Ms. Whose M&Ms are there? They're God's. What does he do? He entrusts us with 10 M&Ms. And how we handle those 10 M&Ms is so important. We're to be good stewards. A steward is a manager of someone else's wealth. And we are managing God's M&Ms because we are his money managers. Today I want to talk to you about first things first. First things first. I want to talk to you about the tithing principle. Tithing principle that I believe has the potential and power to change your life and to change your finances. But let's talk about first. Let's talk about first things first. God wants to be first in your life. Not only does God want to be first, God should be first in your life. The struggle for you and I has always been whether we're going to put ourselves first or whether we're going to put God first or whether we're going to put other things first. What does it mean to put God first? It means that we give God top priority over everything else in life. That God is number one. That God is the most important person in our life. That God's purposes and God's plans are our highest priority. Our goal in life is to fulfill the plan and purpose that God has for us. Our priority and our purpose in life is to fulfill the purposes of God. God and his priorities are number one for every follower of Jesus. For everyone who follows Jesus, for every person who says they are a follower of Jesus, their priorities should reflect the priorities of God. We are followers of Jesus. We are not to be number one in life. God is number one. We're number three. Our spouses are number two. God is number one. Our spouse, number two. We're number three. And the biggest struggle you and I are going to have in life is who is number one in your life? What priorities are number one in your life? And that's where we struggle with. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there's ever a time to make sure that God is number one in your life, it's now. It's now. This is a time where playing church, if you want to call it that way, or going through the religious motions is not going to work. This is a time when true followers of Jesus follow Jesus, obey his commands, do what he's asking us to do. I want to tell you that your biggest struggle in this culture is to keep God number one in your life because there's so many things coming at us, so many things coming at our children. Parents, your biggest challenge is to keep God number one in your family and to keep God number one in the center of your home, in the center of your kids' lives, because this is a culture that is designed to pull us away from God, to keep us distracted, to keep us busy, to keep us involved with so many other things. God wants three things from us. He wants our attention. He wants our affection. And he wants our abilities. God wants our attention. God wants our affection. God wants our abilities. God wants our attention, our affection, our abilities. Unfortunately, this culture is designed to really keep you distracted, to keep you compulsively distracted by what's happening in the world through technology and through other things. Also, our culture, even with sports and entertainment, is all geared to keep us away from focusing on God. And without realizing it, over time, we grow colder and colder in our relationship with God, and God no longer is number one in our life. He's somewhere down the totem pole. And I just want to ask you, if God is number one, then he's number one in your attention, your affection, your abilities, and your focus. Those are the three areas, okay? Your attention, your affection, and your focus. That's where God, where God needs to be, number one. This is a time to be focused on God and his purposes in your life. This is a time where God must be number one. And if you saw the next slide, if God is first in our lives, then it begins with him being first in our finances. You could easily tell if God is number one in your life. Just look at how you give. Can I be honest with y'all? I'm going to be anyway. Because I came to preach and teach you God's word. I didn't come to make you feel comfortable in church. I came to preach truth. And the truth is this. If your bank account does not reflect the values of Jesus, then you need to pull into question whether you're a true follower of Jesus or not. Because if God is going to be first in our lives, then he has to be first in our finances. That's just how it works. Hence the tithing principle. It's a principle God taught us in Scripture years and years ago. Now remember, what are the rules? Number one is what? Don't feel guilty. Number two is what? Don't get defensive now. And what's rule number three? Keep an open mind. Don't get defensive now. Keep an open mind. Let's talk. Can we talk? Because if you grasp this principle, it'll change your life. What's the tithing principle? It's a spiritual practice of giving back to God. Because God is number one. God owns everything. He gives us 10 M&Ms every week as our paycheck. And the tithe is when we give him one M&M. That's what tithing is. Giving back to God the first 10%. Giving back to God one M&M. It's pretty easy. Am I right? When you think about M&Ms, as long as I can have nine, sure you can have one. Am I right? Like, I'll give you one as long as I have nine. But why is it so hard to give up one? Because it has more to do with our hearts than it has to do with the M&M. Ooh, I lost it. You can leave it there. It has more to do with our hearts than it has to do with the M&Ms. Am I right? Because it's hard. It's easy to give one M&M, but it's hard to give 10%. You see, and this is what scriptures teach in Malachi 3:10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, says the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. That there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. My gosh, that's the scriptures. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. What do we do with the tithe? We give it back to God. Because the M&Ms are his. He gives us 10. He sets the rules. He says, bring me one. And we give back to God what belongs to him. Oh, no. I put that M&M in there. What color was it? Oh, no. Lord, just bless. oh, Lord. Well, it won't matter. The chocolate would just kind of overtake the germs. And don't matter. But look at what it says. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Look at verse 11. It says, I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 12 says, then all the nations of the world will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Listen, this is all I want to tell you. If you put God first in your finances, just watch what happens next. Put God first in your finances and watch what happens next. In this scripture, we saw that when we bring the tithe into the storehouse, if you can go back two slides to verse 10, look at what it says in verse 10. He says, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Isn't that powerful? When you put God first in the area of your finances, watch what happens next. So here, let's talk about tithing. Does God need our money? Does God need our M&Ms? Why? He has a whole boatload of M&Ms. He don't need your money. And if he did want them, if he wanted your M&Ms, he would just take them. Because he's God. He could just take whatever he wants. Because he owns it anyway. But he entrusts us with M&Ms. This all belongs to him, right? He doesn't need them. He has an unlimited supply. But why? Well, first and foremost, tithing teaches us to put God first. Last week we talked about the first fruits, and that's an Old Testament principle in which the children of Israel brought the best of their crops to God as an act of worship and gratitude. But if you want God to be number one in your life, then tithing teaches you to put God number one. How many are with me today? Right? Tithing teaches you to put God number one in your life. And when you put God number one in your life, everything else will come into order. Everything else will fall into place. When you put God number one in your life, watch what happens next. It's a principle. Tithing teaches us that God is first. There's no other tangible way that we get to express that, because we can say that God is first in our life. But the beginning step towards him being first is the area of our finances. Because the greatest conversion is not just the conversion of your heart, but the conversion of your wallet. Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart is. It's a heart principle. And the God of Mammon, which is an Old Testament God, which was the God of money, is battling for his throneship on your heart. Trust God. Put him first. Number two, what does tithing do? Well, tithing provides for God's work through the local church. This church is 100% supported by the generosity of its members and attenders. There isn't a Vatican that supports us. I wish I can just give them a call. Say, you know what? We need some new so-and-so. Can you hook us up? Mr. Pope, right? Call the Pope. Hook us up. It ain't happening. We are 100% self-supporting. Isn't that awesome? And because of your giving, check it out. This week, 35 people went public in their faith through water baptism. Think about that. 35 people. Because of your giving, about 100 people have come to Jesus in faith. Transformation Church would not exist if it wasn't for the tithing and the giving of the people that attended. Through your tithing, you're creating a place and space for people to come and worship. This is a visible witness in the community that God is alive, that his church is alive, that his church is living and breathing. We're doing Hope Day. We're doing so much we're reaching our community. That doesn't happen, but except through the tithing. Let me ask you this. Can I step on your toes a little more? I'm going to anyway. Jesus, Holy Spirit, speak to us, Holy Spirit. Check this out. Let me say it correctly. Would the church thrive or die if it depended on your giving? Think about it. Would this church thrive or die if it depended on your giving? Think about that. God is first. Tithing provides for the local church. But number three, tithing increases our faith in God. Because it takes faith to tithe. My wife and I have tithed for 25 years. It takes faith to tithe. It takes faith to trust God. My wife and I did some rough math over 25 years. We've given probably close to $200,000 in cash to the church. This past year, 2022, was our biggest income year. I'm saying our biggest giving year for us personally. We gave the most we've ever given last year. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor, that's because you're a pastor. Pastors are rich. You got brand new Adidas on. By the way, for some of you that come here and judge my sneakers, I just want to let you know, 90% of them were gifts. They were gifts. This is a gift. Pastor friend of mine, Jose Vasquez, blessed me with a pair of Adidas for my birthday. I got another pair. Someone blessed me with Yeezys. Can you imagine that? Yeezys? I have Yeezys. I'm like, Yeezys? That was my 50th birthday Christmas, my 50th birthday gift. But some of y'all just walk around. Some people just judge you because of what you wear. It's not true. We give because we've learned the principle of tithing and how we are blessed. Because number four, we give because God releases blessing through tithing. Next one, tithing releases God's blessing, right? Because it's all his anyway, right? Isn't that true? God blesses tithing. And this is what I'm learning, that as much as we have given financially and as hard as that is to give, we don't lack anything. Because God promised to provide. Notice the promise in Malachi 3:10. Let's go back up there. It says, I will what? Throw open the floodgates of heaven. What? And pour out blessing. I'll throw it open. 1 Kings 17, there's a story about Elijah and a widow. I love this story. Elijah was a man of God. He went to King Ahab. And King Ahab was doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, so there was a famine in the land. But God spoke to Elijah and said, go to the brook, and I will send the ravens to you and feed you bread and meat in the morning and the night. Are you kidding me? Isn't that awesome? There was a famine in the land, and God supernaturally provides for Elijah. Because that's how God is. He's a supernatural God. So there's Elijah. He's there by a brook. In the morning, there's the food. In the evening, there's the food. But eventually, the brook dried up. So God speaks to Elijah and says, go to Zarephath, for there's a widow there, and she will provide for you. So Elijah goes into this home, knocks on the door of this widow, and she opens the door, and there is the man of God. And Elijah says, hello, I was told that you are going to provide for me. Make me a cake. Make me some food. And the widow's like, are you bugging? Like, are you crazy, Elijah? She goes, I only have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And I'm going to make this last meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die. That's all she had, like a little. That was their last meal. But notice what Elijah says to her. Verse 13, don't be afraid. Go home and do what you have said. Don't be afraid. Go ahead, make your cake. But what? But what? Say it with me. But what? first make a small loaf of bread for me. First things first. Principle. God first. And when you put God first, watch what happens next. Come on, church. So there's this woman. She only had a little bit of what she had. And the man of God who represents God is saying to me, no, put God first in your life. And this is what the man of God says. For the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the land. If you put me first, if you put God first, watch what happens next. And the widow did. And look what happened. Every time she went into the jar, there was flour. And every time she poured oil from her jug, there was oil. There was supernatural provision for this woman because she put God first. And I just want to decree and declare to you that I don't know what the future holds. I don't know the uncertainty that we may find ourselves in the future. But this I know, when God is first in your life, you can bank on it. He will supernaturally provide for all of your needs. Paul said, and my God will supply all of your needs. If he has to multiply it, he will multiply it. He will bring supernatural resources and supernatural provision from unexpected places. But that happens when God is first. And some of you think, well, the widow had to provide for the man of God. That's what the story says. But this is, I just want to debunk that theory. God did not need the widow to provide for Elijah because God sent ravens to supply for Elijah. God was the source, not the widow. God is the source of it for Elijah. You see, God sent Elijah to the widow because God wanted to provide for the widow. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. I just want to let you know that. Y'all just like in a daze. You're like confused. Like, wow. The provision wasn't for the house, it was for her house. God wants to provide for you, but you've got to learn the principle of tithing and put God first. And when you put God first, watch what happens next. This is a principle I learned. When you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. Catch it. Catch it. Somebody catch it. All right, I'm just kidding. Thank you. When you take care of God, when you take care of God's business, God takes care of yours. When you trust God with the finances, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that God will provide for you. But this is the thing. If you want to see God move in the supernatural, then you've got to move in the natural. You've got to move in the financial. Isn't that good? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, says the Lord. And then he says this, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room for it. What is God saying? He says, I've given you 10. Let's put that one back. I've given you 10. And when you return that one to me, test me. Try it out. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. And pour out so many blessings over your life Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Your obedience will have a direct impact on those around you. Your obedience is the prerequisite for a greater miracle. Now come up here, Alex, because watch this. The widow now is home, and her son gets sick, and he dies. Are you kidding me? What happens? The man of God was there. Not only did God supernaturally provide for her when she put God first, but her giving was the prerequisite to a supernatural miracle in her life. She called the man of God, and the man of God said, hold on. He goes upstairs, lays on him, and breathes on him three times. And the boy comes alive. None of that happens unless the widow puts God first. None of that happens. And I got to thinking, perhaps you're not seeing the supernatural. Perhaps things are out of order in your life. Perhaps things are chaotic. Perhaps there's this confusion. Perhaps there's this worry. Perhaps it's because your finances are out of order. Perhaps. And I know what you're thinking. I can't afford to tithe. And I'm here to tell you, you can't afford not to tithe. I'm just telling you. Because if you're not faithful with worldly wealth, God can't trust you with true riches. Isn't that what the scripture said last week? And we think that we can't afford it. And that's because you haven't been good money managers. And God is saying, get your finances. Or remember last week, your budget. How many did a budget? How many listened to the pastor and put a budget together? Then if you didn't, let me ask you this question. Maybe that's why there isn't more. Maybe that's why there's struggle. But God is saying to you, and I spoke prophetically over you, and I'm speaking prophetically over your life again, to get your financial house in order. I don't want to step on these because they have to clean them up. Get your financial house in order. Is everyone listening to me? Get your house in order. We might be entering a famine. We might be entering a season of lack. But God is saying to me, manage your money well. Don't go into debt. Put me first, and you have nothing to worry. Because I own the M&Ms. I own it all. And I will provide. And I will meet your needs. So what's our next step? Can I have, Chad, can you bring me up that card? And perhaps you can, matter of fact, the host team, come on up. Everyone, just distribute these cards. This is the next step that I want you to take. I'm not collecting an offering. But I am going to challenge everyone here to a 90-day tithe challenge, to begin tithing for 90 days. And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to tithe 90 days. And I would like to test God's faithfulness by accepting the 90-day tithe challenge. And I agree for that a 3-month period stated above, my household will contribute to God through Transformation Church, a tithe which equals 10% of our gross income. And at the end of 90 days, if I am not convinced of God's faithfulness to bless my life as a result of my obedience to His word, then I will be entitled to request a refund of all the amount of contributions made during that 90-day period. You hear that? We want to help you. Take that step. So I said this at home, and one of my sons was like, Dad, that's hard. I don't know if I can tithe for 90 days. And what he misunderstood was he thought he had to tithe every day for 90 days. We're not asking you to tithe every day for 90 days. What we are asking is that every time God blesses you with income, to give the first 10% to Him. It could be once a week. It could be once a month. However way you get, God blesses you. If you are tithing, then say, I already give 10% or more to God, but I would continue to give now throughout all of 2022. And I know some of you are not ready for this because you haven't even started giving, and that's okay. We don't want you to what? Feel guilty, get defensive, keep an open mind. We just want to help you start giving. So maybe that's your box. I choose not to accept it, but I'm going to commit to giving. Give something back to God. Maybe that's where you start. I'll never forget when I learned this principle as a college student, as a broke college student, like really broke in Bible college. I'll never forget. I used to play the bass, and I was invited to play for this evangelist at this hotel. It was like crazy services, you know what I mean? Like really wild. And during the worship time, a man came up to me and says, I feel led of the Lord to give you $10. Now, I was broke, and it was late, and we were somewhere in Connecticut, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Because I was also starving. I was broken, starving. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I have McDonald's money. That's what I thought. Thank you. How many know that when you're in college, that McDonald's money is really important? Until the offering came. And after the worship, we did some songs, then the offering came, and the Lord spoke to my heart and says, give me your McDonald's money. What? I said, get behind me, Satan. By the way, if you're struggling on whether or not God is wanting you to give, Satan will never tell you to give. I just want to know that. The devil's not telling you to keep your money. I should say, the devil's not telling you to give your money, all right? He's always telling you to keep your money. So here we go. So I said, but God, you know, all this is happening. The bucket's coming. I said, oh God. I says, all right, take my McDonald's money. For the rest of the service, I'm upset. I can't even listen to the preacher because I'm starving. I'm broke. At the end of the service, the guy comes up to me. Same guy came up to me. He says, hey, God bless you. I says, thank you so much again. It was such a blessing. He goes, so what'd you do with the money? I said, oh, I gave it to the Lord. He says, great, because the Lord told me to give you this. It was a 20. God doubled it. And he taught me that in college when I was broke. And he's the source. Some of you need to hear that today. Sometimes God will double it, and sometimes your washing machine won't break down for 8 years. And sometimes, come on, how many know what I'm talking about? And sometimes God provides supernaturally, like, oh my goodness, my boiler has been working for 25 years. I don't understand why it's still running. I don't understand why I keep driving on these brakes, but they just seem not to wear out. I don't understand. I got these shoes, but they just keep, I don't understand. I don't understand this tithing thing, but this I know. Put God first and watch what happens next. Sometimes he provides financially. Sometimes he provides in other ways. But then sometimes you see your sons and you see your daughters. You see your kids following Jesus. Sometimes you see your kids making wise decisions. Sometimes you see your family being blessed in so many other ways. That's because the Bible says when you tithe, I will not only throw open the windows of heaven, but I will prevent the pests. I will prevent the enemy from coming into your home, from coming into your life, from getting into your household. I will have and I will place supernatural provision and protection over your family and over your home. That, my friends, is true riches. It's true riches. I used to get really worried about preaching on tithing until God spoke to me. And scolded me. He corrected me. He says, what are you doing? He says, I just want to be nice. I want to be liked. I don't want to preach on this. And this is what the Lord spoke to. He says, by not teaching and preaching this principle, you're not helping them, you're hurting them. Because I want to release blessing on them. I want to bless my children. This principle's for us. It's because God loves you. So can we take a moment, fill this out, pray? Can we bow our heads in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I commit this card to you. Whatever next step you're asking me to take, I trust you. I depend on you. I need you. Lord, we release everything to you because it's all yours anyway. We trust you with our finances. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said amen. If you're watching online, you can fill out the 90-day tithe challenge online. You go to our website. It's right there. So on the way out, drop these in the bucket in the back. I'm going to ask, I didn't tell them to do this earlier, but the host team, could you grab just buckets on the way out so they can throw these in the bucket there on the way out? And by the way, because I know this was one of those challenging messages, guess what? Everybody's getting M&Ms on the way out, all right? Everybody's getting M&Ms on the way out, all right? I love you guys. Listen, before you go, don't forget about the transformation pathway, your next steps. If you're ready to follow Jesus, that's your first step, to place your faith in Christ. Secondly, once you've done that, get water baptized. After you've been water baptized, take growth track. Okay, you guys with me on that? Take growth track. If you need prayer this morning, why don't you come forward? Our prayer team is here. Enjoy your holiday. How many know I love you guys? I love you all. You know I love you. Praying for you. I wish nothing but God's best for you. Have an awesome day, everybody. God bless you.